going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to part 3 of the season 2 premiere of Transformers Prime and WTF
Prime Time!
This is Evangelist. I'm joined by Gog Dog.
Hi. Hi.
We're joined by Aaron.
Let's make this thing quick. I got Mass Effect to get back to.
It is the launch
You're not
day
the only one.
Of Mass Effect 3. Mine's not here till tomorrow, hopefully, but many thanks to Gog and Aaron because they are already multi-hours into the game and have taken time out of their schedule to record a little bit about Orion Pax Part 3. So, give them some love. Give them some hot, heavy Krogan love.
I'm getting twitchy here.
Oh, we're going to dive right in here. We're going to dive into some Orion Pax Part 3. And I want to bring up the thing that caught me the most in this episode. This will not be a big surprise to any longtime listener of the show. But we got to see the Insecticon transform, and now I want a toy of it. I want to army build it. Because it totally has, this was pointed out to me by someone else who kind of confirmed a suspicion of mine, it totally has the Viacon visor. So the Insecticon now looks to me like some kind of like just deranged, mutated Viacon, and I kind of want a couple of them. Because also it turns into like a, what was that, like a stag beetle? Was it a stag beetle?
Or a rhinoceros
beetle. Yeah, it turns into like a giant flying rhinoceros beetle. Don't know why, but I really like it, and as a design, it was really cool. And I totally get the vibe that it is not some kind of individual character called Insecticon. That was more or less confirmed by various things in the episode, including its somewhat gruesome demise that was a bit of a payoff from something talked about in Season 1. So I like the Insecticon, and I think it would make for a really cool Deluxe or Voyager. And I'm sure that come BotCon this year that it'll probably, there's a good likelihood it'll be in the slideshow. Like, just having seen it here. Gog, how'd you feel about the Insecticon?
He was cool, design-wise. The fight between him and RC was good, as most of the action has been in the show recently. The only thing I was disappointed with was, because of the whole, like, RC was like, oh, what are we worried about, you know? Or Jack was like, what are we worried about? Decepticons? Whatever he said. And I can't remember now what Jack said, but it's not important. But RC was like, no, vermin. So I was like, these are like Decepticon like beasts or experiments or just straight up like wild animals. And all that kind of just got reversed by Megatron was like, oh no, we got sentries.
Still kind of think it's like you could have a guard dog, where the dog's not necessarily a intelligent person versus, you know, if you had a sentient there instead, you know, yeah. It's easier to have guard dog.
But, I mean, RC's comment could easily be explained away. I mean, heck, she could have even been referring to the Scraplets or whatever. But, like, I thought that it being a more of a straight up kind of non-sentient animal-esque abomination was a little cooler, but you know, that's my own me applying my own slant to it, which isn't fair to the show.
I had a similar feeling, but I think that it, like, my own kind of change of heart came when we basically got that piece of artwork that said, by the way, this is called the Insecticon, here's the concept art. So I was like, okay, it's an Insecticon.
I think, like, look at the IDW swarm, which were basically the part of they were kind of Insecticons, like, but just failed experiment Insecticons. So I still, even knowing that it was called an Insecticon, and that's fine. But if it was a sentient Transformer, I would rather at least speak or say something.
At least it wasn't a zombie already. Like that was the nice thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause if it was just a zombie, I would have been like, all right, then the Terrorcon zombies are the things that are on Cybertron, I guess. And so having something else there was kind of neat. Although, it opens up a whole bunch of things of, like, so the Decepticon, like, how long have the Decepticons been in almost direct contact with Cybertron to be able to monitor those sentries, etc., etc.? Anyway, staying on the topic of the Insecticon, Aaron, how'd you feel about the character design?
RC fighting him really seemed like a Shadows of the Colossus-style boss fight. I had another video game that it was very similar to, where it's, you're definitely out sized, and she did a decent job of holding her own, as much as can be said, you know, versus something that was, you know, 10 times her size, but had some good scenes crawling up and over him. For the design itself, it definitely does give off, I think it more something feral or something kind of like how we thought early on the Viacons were, that they were just drones, not necessarily as we've seen that they're theoretically characters. They just haven't had any characterization. But it was definitely interesting to see. And I, you know, if we do see more Cybertron, I definitely think we'll, I hope we see variations the same way that we've seen a couple different variations of Viacon.
This also made me say, like, having heard, you know, that it's one of their sentries, it's a drone, it's clearly not able to speak, and it has, like, a Viacon visor. I'm sitting there going, like, you guys really need to have the episode that kind of goes into what the hell the Viacons are, like, sooner than later. Like, this is starting to push a little bit heavier my buttons of, all right, you're telling me all these names, world build for me. Come on, let's do it. Like, yeah. Let's dive right in.
It almost seems like maybe they're holding that back for a filler episode, but then they've decided not to have any filler episodes so much. So
yeah.
I don't know if we got to fill one in.
I just want to know, and I want to have the reveal of, like, you know, what is the history of this Decepticon army, and what are they pulled from, and like in the case of things like the Insecticon, like clearly the thing looks like an experiment. And I want to know, like, what is the history of this experiment and whatnot. And if we never get it, that's, you know, whatever. But it's something I'd like to know. Hopefully there will at least be a source book or something that can elaborate on it a little bit. And I definitely agree. I think that the fight scene that RC had with the thing was really cool. It made me definitely go, like, I hope that if it does get a toy, it would be a Voyager. Although that is kind of unlikely because it's a drone thing. And it would suck to try to army build a Voyager. I'm opening myself up for this. Oh, no, wait. I already army built things that cost $30. Never mind. So the Insecticon was an interesting part of the episode. Moving on from there, Gog, have you got a talking point you'd like to bring up?
Well, they answered one of my questions from last week, which was, like, why are they going to Kaon to reach Vector Sigma?
Yeah.
And apparently Kaon didn't used to be it wasn't created by the Decepticons. It was just a regular city that the Decepticons took over, built their empire upon it, and never knew at any time that this fabled source of mystical power, Vector Sigma, was right under their feet the entire time. So,
like 10, 15 foot underneath their feet?
Yeah. So it was cool that, like, we kind of had that question, like, oh, well, why are they going to Kaon? And they took the time to answer it and didn't dwell on it too much, but... So, but, and yeah, and, I guess Vector Sigma in general, like it was neat, I guess. Apparently it's not immune to scraplets. That's for sure.
That was the part that made me go, like, okay, so if the scraplets see it like that, that means it's living metal, at least when the key is active. So then maybe sit there going, like, so Vector Sigma is kind of a living Cybertronian thing, or is it organic, or what is it? And then I'm sitting there
maybe
going,
it's
like,
maybe it's just energon infused metal.
Yeah,
I was just sitting there going, like, this thing feels like that dick that was the Allspark in animated season one, where it would never say anything, but it would just start showing symbols at people. And I was like, because I was sitting there going, like, I wonder if the thing's going to talk. Like, when it was rising up and everything, I was like, and this huge thing erupts out of the lower chamber. It's like, is this thing going to start speaking? And then it just sort of starts loading up the key with something. And I'm like, man, you cryptic, deific bastard. but yeah, no, it was pretty cool to see the Vector Sigma design for the supercomputer. It reminded me a lot of that scene it's in War for Cybertron when it gives Optimus Prime the Matrix. At least my recollections of that scene.
Yeah, I think I remember what you're talking about.
And it was kind of cool. And of course, there's all kinds of theories you can draw now from many things. Like, number one, it was edible by and looked tasty to scraplets. Number two, it seemed to just kind of, like, I don't know if I missed something, but it seemed like Vector Sigma just sort of knew, like, oh, he has a key, I'll fill it with the Matrix.
Yeah, this is going on my short list of things that have potential to be foundation setting for later storytelling, but if they never come back to it, I'm going to be very disappointed. So yeah. far, the members are this and Unicron, because they like to reference these things, and then they like to play up like how important this is to the lore and history of all of Cybertron, and then they quickly touch on it and it's gone. I'm not judging it at all. I'm going to wait and see what they do. So, but if we never get Vector Sigma again, and especially after Ratchet's speech of like, oh, great mystical power and that sort of like, okay, I'm fine with that. That's cool. Or at least even if it's just mystical as in kind of mythical to them, like it's yeah. mystical because they don't understand how it works. Kind of like the AllSpark in Animated, you know, even Derek in Animated said there's no, you know, mystical anything in this, but the Autobots revered the AllSpark as exactly that. But it was because, you know, they didn't understand it.
Right.
But, and it could easily be the same thing here. But with, you know, with the amount of kind of ooh and awe put behind it, and then for Jack to just kind of go in the room, stick the key in there, and then be done with it. If they never touch on it again, that's a little bit of a buildup for something so inconsequential.
Between that and the lack of dialogue, I think, yeah. was the stuff that kind of made me blink. Because I was like, it's like, no one's saying anything, but stuff is happening.
Right. But and if
the write-off thought that I had with the key on that is just that that's the way maybe that the Primus... where the Prime title gets transferred, and when Prime became Prime, he got a key, and so now that the key's empty, you take it back to Vector Sigma, and it gets refilled.
Yeah, and that's fine. I have no problem with any of that stuff. It just, I hope that they use this later to step up to more.
Yeah,
like I feel the same way about Unicron. I don't have a problem with the way they handled Unicron, but. If that's all it was just this kind of two or three part season finale, and you know they kind of just put him back to sleep and then that's it. I would hope that it comes back and they can use what they've done in previous episodes to continue, you know, the themes that they've created. We've said plenty of times that Prime is a show that doesn't like to dwell. It likes to set something up and it resolves it quickly and then it moves on. And I think overall that's mostly been a strength, but if they have these huge plot things like this and this is actually how quickly they're resolving it and they never come back to it, I think long term, looking back on the show, I'm going to be pretty disappointed.
Well, it's going to be a negative point to bring up. Remember that time Vector Sigma showed up for a three parter,
right? And it's not a negative in my mind now. I mean, I think what we've seen has been really cool.
It just needs follow up.
It does, and yeah, it needs to be expounded upon. And they're setting up a lot of potential to come back to later for some really cool stuff if they play their cards. But if they decide not to, if in the writers' minds this story has been told, then I will be very disappointed in that. But only time will tell.
I have that exact same feeling about a very certain plot point that was resolved in this end of this three-parter, which I'm sure we're going to get to as a separate topic.
I have a feeling that I share that with you. I think I know what you're talking about.
There is a thing in this between Vector Sigma and that thing, there are things in this episode that right now I'm like, okay, we have a whole season ahead of us, so let's just see how it plays out. But if it is the last we see of a couple of things that were done in this three-parter, it's going to be kind of like, that's a bummer that you just had them for the one three-parter, and that's all we got. Vector Sigma. Aaron, how'd you feel about Vector Sigma?
I like the size and scope as Jack first walks in to the room. You realize this is a room that's built for a whole bunch of giant robots to have some sort of ceremony or something in. Definitely really pulled off the scope. And then, like I said, my idea that I had on the key was that it's more of the what a new Prime gets. And if Prime knew that he was going to be giving up all of his knowledge, this is the way that new primes are formatted. So that's where that comes into and why the key was smart about, oh, okay, I need to re-download. But beyond that, E2 covered and I tried to butt in on most of the other thoughts about it.
Well, Aaron, moving along to you, what is a talking point that you've got that you'd like to bring up?
I'm going to go for a big one, but I think it's one that kind of wraps up our feelings for this episode, is I'm really disappointed at the end.
Specifically, what part?
Specifically, that the return of the key was just a reset button for Prime.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was alluding to before, but expound on your point a little bit for me.
It just seems, you know, especially having the scraplets nibbling on the uploader thing and having Jack fighting so hard to try and keep him off of it, it would have been nice to see, like, Prime gets 90%, 95% of his memories back, but not just like, okay, we're where we were before. We can go back to episode of the week type of things. And just the quickness that it happened, that, you know, he was getting roughed up as PAX, but as soon as he got the Prime knowledge again, he's doing the epic samurai catch sword in front of face action. It would have been nice to see issues still coming about, like, okay, he's better, but not, it's not 100%.
Yeah, I have some qualms that I'm not going to say are things I didn't like, but they are things that, much like Vector Sigma, in fact, I hold these to a much more imminent need of follow-up than Vector Sigma or Unicron, that being the whole Orion Pax thing. I was a little bit not cool with the outright statement of, by the way, he does not remember at all what happened for these last couple episodes. But
yeah.
I was like, if they're going to actually like state it so outright at the end of this episode, I hope that that's not just so they can say Megatron has knowledge they don't know about now, but instead could be maybe something to move into later. And I'm hoping that this is not, that was not just the hard cut on the whole Orion Pax story.
Yeah, maybe that's where the memory issues come in, is his Pax memories are like, ah, I remember something about this, but it was just such a flip of the switch.
Yeah, this was not the time, and hopefully it's not the case that this is what happened. This was not the time for a full character reset to the status quo, because of all the characters to get some kind of layer and growth, which I believe we talked about last Prime time.
Yeah,
Optimus Prime is the one who needed that, and he was getting it. And if this nullified it, which I hope it didn't, if it did nullify it, that is a huge misstep in my opinion. I hope that it didn't nullify it. I'm hoping that this is not the end of that plotline, because even in the preview for the next episode, the narrator says, like, Optimus Prime is back. And I'm like, I hope that that's maybe a running thing of like, all right, Prime, you're back. And he's like, yeah, I am back, but something feels weird. Like, I'm hoping he gets more of a long-term consequence from these three episodes than just, here's the key. And he's like, am I worthy? He stands up and he's like, I don't remember anything, but I'm gonna kick some ass now.
Yeah, some of this sounds eerily familiar to when you were describing your pains watching, was it Energon?
Energon Superlink. Well, that was even worse, because that was a long-term established character who then gets mind-wiped and reformatted, and there are characters even saying, like, don't you remember? And they're like, nope, and then, like, that was it. This isn't quite as egregious, because this isn't the complete nullification of an interesting character.
It kind of.
Well, sort of, but not like a one and a half season.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but if you want to put it on such simple terms, it is.
This is totally very close to what I hated about the story decisions in Superlink and Energon, and that's why I'm there are very few plot points that make me very, very not angry, but like just that make me very tentative and not very happy. And utter, like, character wipe while keeping the character in place is one thing that I always kind of go, like, eh. And, like, in this case, because it's technically, like, his memories that were the character and not a full-on character who we've gotten to know for an entire season, it's a little different. But this was character development Prime needed, and I really hope that it remains and somehow comes up again. Like, and so that's why I'm not going to say I'm mad that his brain rebooted, because maybe it will get referenced again. But if it doesn't get referenced again, that is going to be a big step back from the potential this three-parter had.
Not referenced again, but something about it. Not just like, hey, Prime, remember that time?
I just want there to have been something gained to his character from this three-parter. Yeah. Because this is a three-parter that was all about him. And if Optimus Prime as a character doesn't get anything from his own three-parter, that would really suck. Because he also needed something. He is one of the cast members that has been lacking. And that was the thing I was alluding to before. That was the thing that I was very much like, I really hope you guys are doing this for a good reason. Gog, what are your thoughts on the resolution of Optimus Prime's memory?
I do want to say something positive about it. I did kind of like the part where the young Orion Pax, even when he learns that he has weaponry, you know, goes to stand head-to-head with Megatron, who he learned on his own effort that he had been deceived.
I like that part, too.
And utterly failed because he didn't have these, what we assume to be thousands of years worth of battle experience that had been lost. He was just little data administration dude Orion. So he didn't have all that knowledge. Like it's not just the physical body. It's what he's gone through since then. And seeing the difference between him before and after, I thought was a neat contrast in that regard. But yeah, the whole, like, I don't even remember. And again, I don't want to judge the show for something that we haven't even given it a chance to resolve. It's just, this is just us, you know, explaining what we want to and don't want to see going forward from what we've seen in this episode.
It's a potential qualm that may or may not happen.
Right. So we're not, you know, I'm not judging anybody, but I am expressing concerns with what I've seen and as we all are. But I think Valkaisis put it best on Twitter. He said, "Rest in peace, TFP Prime, November 2011 to March 2012." her interesting prime or whatever.
I do feel bad that I didn't touch on the stuff I did like, because I did think that Orion Pax, and I even liked it in the credits, he was listed as an alternate character that Peter Cullen played. I thought Orion Pax had some great moments. Like, I loved it when he, I love that bit when he's trying to act like he's turning into a pair of Viacons of all things and saying, "Hey guys, listen, we could, Megatron's up to no good. We could warn the Autobots."
Don't you see the evil here? I just had a revelation. What this guy's doing wrong, and we can stand up to him.
And of all things, it's Viacons. So they just start beating the crap out of him. And I love seeing him getting beaten up, but I just love that moment. Cause I was like, they're just kicking him down and he's spending the whole time just going like pleading with them. Like, "No, we've got to stop this." And then when he pops the guns and they just kind of inadvertently fire off, I love when he's like, "I'm armed."
Yeah.
Like I sat there going, like, I know someone's probably not going to like that scene, but I love the idea that with these Transformers having weaponry, like, literally built in their bodies, I like the idea that they're not aware it's there if they don't know it's there. Like, that it's a muscle reflex they don't know how to do. And then in a desperate move, he's like, he like flexes his wrist just the right way. Then his hands turn into guns. He's like, "What?"
But that, I mean, at the same time, when I see that, like, that scene that you described where he's written in such a contrasted manner to the Prime that we've had for the entire previous episodes of the show, where they're taking the time to make him, like, exactly like how they had described him in the flashback episode in the season finale last season, where he's the young guy who he appealed to the council or whatever, and they bestowed upon him the right to become a Prime because they were moved with his words. And we got to see a bit of that with exactly what you said with the Viacons. It's like he sees this evil, and like the first thing he does is appeal to those around him, like, "Look, we can stop this." But you know, the Decepticons are already far too gone. Like, they're thousands of years past that. But my point is, like, with the writing, like, they obviously know what they're doing because, like, they're referencing that stuff and interjecting so much character into so many few lines. But it's if this is the writing that we're getting, like, what excuse do we have for, like, the Prime that we've gotten up to this point? Yeah, like, is that... Were they just told to do that? Or is do they think that that's what we want? Like, and I understand that the people who make TV commercials and market shows are in no way connected to the writers at all. In fact, there are some damn right egregious attempts at marketing a show sometimes where the marketers are selling a show in ways that the writers never intended. But it's like, I still get a bit of feeling of that. It's like, like you said, it's like in the commercial for the next episode, it's like Optimus Prime is back. And
I'm not happy about that.
I know. Like, I hope that that's not what the writers think we want, because, like, I mean, at least, I don't know. There just seems to be a large contingent of people that are just like, wow, like, we're actually getting something interesting.
Well, that's the cruelty of these episodes, or the potential cruelty, is that between the writing and then the most astounding thing of all, Peter Cullen's voice acting, they got across this really interesting younger pre-Optimus Prime character, Orion Pax. And I always, like, I would have thought that, like, before we got that season premiere, I was ready for Peter Cullen to not be able to get across that character just because he's so used to doing the Prime voice for that character. And just to hear, like, this younger Optimus Prime out of him, I was like, this is awesome. And even that very last moment where he's, like, questioning, like, if he should even be given the power of Vector Sigma. And he's like, am I really worthy? And he's, like, looking at Jack, who he's never met before in this persona. I just love the wide-eyed, like, almost naivety of this character.
Yeah, and I mean, if nothing else, like, you have to give credit to the writers for what they did with Orion Pax. It was legitimately interesting from start to finish. And even if he goes back to the boring Prime, at least you can look back on these episodes and say, well, at least that was some cool character writing.
It was it was proof that all of those involved in the show, between writing and between Peter Cullen, were able to get across something really interesting, no matter what happens after this.
That's one thing that I've said about Pax that I've told a couple of people that aren't watching Prime. It's like, no, you should really watch it and really appreciate things like, you know, Pax. It's being played as this alternate character that almost seems like he's got more character than Prime has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it goes back to our earlier talk about Prime, is that he's the God button. He's the stuff's going bad. Prime will come in, epic sound, boom, it's done. And then Pax is this completely different character that you can see where he turns into some of the ideals of Prime, but it's still much better. And it's, I'm going to be really sad if it is just a straight reset.
Cause we have good ingredients now to choose from. We've got his past as Orion Pax, you know, the archivist, the very intelligent code breaker, the very smart, passionate speaker. And we've also got Optimus Prime from the finale of last season, where he started to show some character in that he is old. He is tired of this war. He's ready to kind of break his own personal rules of engagement just to put an end to a greater evil. And if he can get that, now you got all this cool stuff in your mixing pot for Optimus Prime. It's just like, I hope that it fuses together into something really engaging, and that he doesn't become the character that comes on screen and we're like, oh yeah, right, there's Optimus Prime. He's going to win. Like, that's the last thing I want to feel about Optimus Prime now, that we've seen like two instances of really cool development for him. That was great. I almost hope that they do like an Orion Pax figure of like, and just make that the faceplateless Optimus Prime toy. Like that would be kind of cool too. Moving on from there, I guess it's my turn. So I want to talk about Megatron kind of just stepping up his game in this episode and going like, all right, Optimus Prime knows I'm lying, but I also know he's still Orion Pax, so I'm just going to threaten him and, and then just be on my way. Also, Megatron showing up at the space bridge all by himself to just see what is going on, and then more or less just making short work of every Autobot in sight was pretty cool too, because he
treated them all like punks.
I loved your tweet. I wonder who would win between.
Yeah. And then I forgot I made that tweet, and I came back, and my mentions tab was the most bewildering thing I'd ever seen. But no, I love that Megatron, like, just because I've really been digging Prime Megatron, and I like that they kind of took this little moment to go like, by the way, just in case you forgot, he is a friggin' badass, and there's a reason why he's in charge. I was really actually starting to get, and I had this feeling from season one again, where I was sitting there going like, I wonder if they're going to off one of the cast, like, because they're fighting like Megatron of all people. And there's even a part when Orion Pax attacks him, and he like just like puts his fist into Orion Pax's gut. I was like, is that the one that had the blade on it, or was that his fist? Like, I don't know what he just did. And then he friggin' cracks his neck. That was so cool. So I was really enjoying that space bridge action sequence. Right. Also down to the neat directorial choice of showing like a profile shot of RC and Jack on Cybertron, pan left through the space bridge, and Megatron's just standing right there with a knife out, going like, "Come on!" Like, you can just imagine, like, he was just waiting to see a shape in the space bridge and just like put his blade through it. I was really liking that bit of Megatron in this episode, and his whole like, all right, the plan's done. I'm going to just tell him I'm going to cut his throat unless he does what I tell him to do. Gog, how'd you feel about Megatron in this episode?
I liked it. Like, I liked the fight just because, like you said, it reaffirmed the fact that, like, Megatron is a force of nature. Like, and even all the Autobots at the same time. And, I mean, maybe he's a little too powerful, but, I mean, at the same time, that's what makes him a threat. That's what makes Prime legitimate in what he said at the end of last season, and like, this dude just has to die. Like, we have to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's a little disappointing because that means the only person that can ever stand against Megatron is Prime. Which, and that, it's not a problem in and of itself, but
It's a problem because of Optimus than because of Megatron.
Yeah. But it's like, whatever. At the same time, it feels like kind of a cop out that nobody died. And I didn't want anybody to die in this scene because it would have been a waste. I'm all for character death if it has meaning. Like, you can do it right. But like, if someone had died in this scene, I think it would have been a complete waste for this episode. But at the same time, realistically, Megatron should have killed every one of them, or at least killed a couple of them and left a few others on the brink of death. And like, just for him to just keep tossing dudes out of the way and then just standing there waiting for RC to come through the gate, it did seem a little unrealistic. But I don't know how else they could have played it. But I'm glad the scene happened, because, you know, we needed, I liked that, like you said, I wonder what would happen if these guys stood up to Megatron in a final fight. Like, okay, now we know.
Yeah,
so now we know why they don't try to do that more often.
I also thought at one point that he was literally just going to throw Bulkhead into the space bridge.
I thought they were gonna throw Megatron through the space bridge and trap him on Cybertron.
Yeah, me
because
too.
The controls for the space bridge were right there. They could have just tossed him out, blew the thing up, and then he would have been stuck there for a while. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I'm kind of glad they didn't, because we've already had the whole Megatron is missing arc, and
yeah,
I really don't think they needed or wanted to do that again. And I'm kind of glad they didn't. But that was going through my mind the entire time. Is like, well, they could easily kind of do that.
Well, I mean, then there was even the line, Megatron be gone, which was a line I didn't care for that much, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Aaron, how'd you feel about Megatron in this episode?
Well, like I said, he treated our Autobots, our heroes, like punks. The only one that even seemed like he was close to standing up to him was Bulkhead. Mm-hmm. And even then, it was just because of mass and rough and tumble. It kind of felt cheap that RC got the hit in that she did on him, but I'm thinking that's just like force equals mass times acceleration. If she came through,
oh god,
hauling butt, yeah, some physics up in here. If she came through going real fast, maybe that'd be enough to counteract the fact that Megatron is 10 to 20 times her size.
Going real fast from a different planet's gravitational pull, too.
Right. You know, maybe she pulled some additional mojo out of the space bridge, but...
Yeah, or she's a Mary Sue, one or the other.
Yeah, well... That's been said so many times, that's probably why I'm leaning away from it, just because it's Mary Sue.
I thought that, telling me she's taken Drift's game away from him? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Damn it. It's that Hall of Fame stuff going to her head.
The one thing I was hoping for when Ratchet lunged at Megatron, I was hoping that they'd tangle a little bit more than Megatron just like grabbing his face and throwing him back down as Jack was uploading the Matrix to Prime. Because comic books-wise, Ratchet and Megatron had their thing for a while. So
it looked like it was going to be a Ratchet hero moment, too, the way they locked him standing up. Like, they made this big directorial show of, like, hey, look, here he's getting up. It's like, oh! And, like, 2 seconds later, he's, like, flying across the room. It's like, oh.
Right. Or even just, like, a leg tangle, like, you know, when the three-year-old grabs your leg and, don't let you go! You know, something to that was more impressive than just, like, no. No, lay back down.
Bummer.
Yeah. But yeah, it's probably because, you know, that's the guy that you got to pit up against Superman. Yeah. You know, they've built Prime intentionally or not into this powerhouse character. So you have to have a powerhouse character on the other side, or else any story involving either one of them is going to be super boring.
It's just that I also find this Megatron so much more interesting because he's had that whole journey of, he's a deranged old man hopped up on Unicron blood, and then his god that he was basically become a priest for said, I don't care about you. And then he kind of reverted back to like, hey, I'm going to get kind of cunning again now that I've got all this dark energon out of my system. And then he's a really interesting Megatron, and I wish that, or I hope that his counterpart, because the strength level thing doesn't bother me as long as they're interesting. That's why I'm okay with Megatron being so tough, because I'm like, he's also a fun character that I like watching, whereas Optimus Prime, as his only match, is often a little bit boring.
Yeah, I guess my biggest issue with him being so powerful is the fact that it's got to be him versus Prime, which that's kind of the premise of the show a little bit, but at the same time, if three Autobots and kind of four Autobots there towards the end couldn't stand toe-to-toe with one Decepticon, maybe they don't deserve to.
Yeah, I don't know. It's also not like the animated thing where I remember animated's whole thing was all the Decepticons are one-man armies. And in this case, it's more so just Megatron is the one-man army.
Yeah, because all the other Decepticons, when they've been toe-to-toe with Autobots, it's been a decent fight.
Yeah.
And then this is just total ponage, which, I mean, I guess Megatron's head of the Decepticons, so it should be expected in a ruthless situation that he's the jerkiest jerk face of them all, but I don't know. It just, I would have liked to seen a little bit more struggle. Still have Megatron win, but just not totally be, you know, only Bulkhead because he wraps him up is able to seem like he does anything.
Maybe all that struggle happened, but off screen.
I felt bad for Ratchet because I don't think Ratchet got a single hit and he's like, oh shit.
Yeah,
like he just like slapped around like poor Ratchet, like he's like, all right, I'm gonna get back up on my feet. Okay, you know what? I'm just gonna stay on my ass because I've been placed on it forcefully about three times now.
That's a lot like Vector Prime in Cybertron and Galaxy Force. In Galaxy Force, especially because that's the one I saw. Vector Prime was this mysterious time traveling robot with gears in him, and he's like got super cosmic powers. But I don't remember Vector Prime ever once actually connecting with his sword. He had this stock animation sequence where he'd jump at a guy with his sword and whoever he attacked would always get out of the way and then punch him. Vector Prime was possibly the worst combatant in the entire show, as I recall it.
Vector Prime was like reverse alternity. Like, he swings his sword, but it doesn't hit until tomorrow.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, whenever he attacked, he would go like, whoa! And then I guess that just like teed off whoever he was fighting with because they'd always get out of the way. That was the running gag for a lot of folks I remember talking to with Galaxy Force was, oh, hey, here goes Vector Prime. Yep, there goes Vector Prime. So, like, when he had his big death episode, I thought, like, I wonder if he's going to somehow fail to die and then survive. Because he doesn't seem to be able to do anything right. I'm going off vague recollections, though. I know Vector Prime had some cool moments, too. They were often not in combat. Aaron, let's go to you. Have you got another talking point?
So getting down into the other stuff, I do like some of the continuity stuff. Pax's blade, Prime's right hand blade, is still broken.
Mm-hmm.
And Scraplet's remaining really creepy.
Yeah. And
was it broken? I missed that.
Yeah.
And that was from the season finale still?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
so
I think
it was,
cool.
it was, before Jack uploaded, when he came through the space bridge and had both of his blades out, one of them was definitely different tipped than the other.
Huh. I'll have to go back. I only watched this once.
And then
at the end,
he's got his blaster out for that busted blade. So he's doing one and one. And so then he has the gun out for the one that had the bad blade, which I don't know if that was a choice to have him be like mixed combat or if that's then Prime being like, well, tactically, this thing's a little bit more screwed up, so we'll go with a gun in that hand. But some of those little touches through do show that it's, you know, it's definitely something that they're caring about. What was the other small thing kind of along those lines was as they're going into the gladiator pit, the giant Megatron statues that are all around it.
That was kind of cool to see the former glories he had back on Cybertron.
He's such a modest guy.
Yeah. How'd you guys feel about the scraplet death now that we finally got to see one? I thought it was kind of nice. Like, I thought it was nicely done, except for the part where the Insecticon tripped and fell like a teenage girl in a horror movie.
At that point, both of the Insecticon's arms had come off.
This is before a scraplet hit him. This is when Jack threw the scraplet at him. The Insecticon turns, runs, and then trips and falls down. And then the scraplet gets on him.
I really did like it, though, because, I mean, you see the Autobots in the scraplet episode being like, oh, scraplets, that's messed up stuff. That you don't want to deal with that. And then to see this Insecticon that's, I mean, in my mind, it's maybe not feral, but some sort of domesticated thing that isn't a person still being like, whoa, scrap, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm
the hesitation and not wanting to be near them. It's just the actual trip and fall kind of made me go like, oh, man. But then, you know, the whole have the scraplets swarm on him, circle the camera around him, and then have him just literally, like, his joints get chewed apart. Yeah. I was like, that was fun.
Which then it's like, oh, okay, I really do see why scraplets are this thing that everybody freaks out about. And just get them away. Just whatever you got to do, just no. Because if it can devour something that big in seconds, I wouldn't want anything to do with it either.
And it also puts a new perspective on when RC wakes up and one is chewing on her foot. And you're kind of like, oh, man, that would be like waking up with a tarantula chewing on your foot. You'd be like, wow. Yeah, where were we? Gog, I believe I was going to come to you for a talking point.
I don't know if I have any more individual talking points other than just wanting to share my overall thoughts about, you know, the beginning of season two and the first three-parter. Unless somebody else has something specific they want to get into. Because I'd like to talk about that at the end.
I was going to go there for mine if no one else had anything.
Got one more real thing.
Okay,
go.
I liked Jax really showing his own that he's growing in this episode too. Going down the scary tunnel by himself and then fighting off the scraplets. Mm-hmm. And he did have a bit of a wiki line of no with the scraplets.
I was worried. I was sitting there going like, what if one of the scraplets decides to just eat through his suit?
Yeah, just eat a hose.
Yeah, that'd be a horrible way to go.
But it really seems, I mean, he's always been the more responsible kid, but this is, like, above and beyond, like, adult type of actions, which is really nice and impressive to see, and I hope it's something that carries on that maybe the other two kids will get a clue to.
I mean, Jack is the guy who's going to get that development the most, because he's the lead human character, and I like that, like, for all the qualms I've had about the way the other two kids have been handled, Jack seems to have been, to me at least, a good constant, like, well-done human character.
Yeah, well, I think it's also probably comes from the fact that he's like the viewer replacement character. Mm-hmm. As a kid sitting there watching the show, who do you want to be?
I want to be Miko.
Yeah, well, it's because you're stupid. No. You want to be Jack because he's the one that's in the middle of these adventures and is the responsible one.
I want to be Miko because she's a pretty princess, huh?
But that, I guess I do have the other one from the very end of the, I'm surprised you didn't talk about that. Hopefully this is going to keep from happening. Why'd the Autobots leave the bridge intact?
Because Prime said to leave. I took it as there being like, I thought it was supposed to imply that there were a whole bunch of Decepticon reinforcements coming.
I think that that's what it was left for, is so that we can have things to do in season two.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there was a thought in my mind that's like, why not just leave some charges behind, jump through the through your ground bridge and go, ha-ha, suckers, boom.
I guess because maybe they're kind of like, hey, there's a working space bridge. We can get back to Cybertron with this. I don't know. I'm now making up reasons for the characters to do things, which is always a sign of I'm probably starting to defend it a bit too much.
They wanted to stop the space bridge so badly before because Megatron could bring through his undead army. Like,
yeah, it's right there.
Now Megatron can at any time bring in his undead army.
Well, I wonder if maybe that isn't a factor now that Megatron no longer has the blood of Unicron in him. Right. That's all been run out of his system that he wouldn't be able to control it or
does
call
he not?
It anymore.
Does he not? Because he didn't have a spark. Like, it was just the shard of Energon inside that was keeping him alive.
Oh, right. But he doesn't have the super overtones anymore. I don't know if maybe
that was because that represented Unicron taking control over him.
That's a good point.
So
I guess I was thinking that as that all that resolved, that all of that mojo was out of him, and he was just
his normal
super strong, not crazy strong.
Yeah, I hadn't considered that. I had always just kind of assumed that in light of Unicron kind of rejecting him, he had more or less like ditched most of his Dark Energon character points. But I do not recall it ever really being cleared up in the show either. So hopefully something involving Terrorcons will come up sooner than later to address what the state of the Megatron is in that regard. That aside, do you guys want to go into just like the final thoughts on the episode and the premiere overall?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I go first, or do Gog? Did you want to?
Go ahead.
Okay. I think it's really clear that I enjoyed the first two parts of this three-parter, and I'm not going to lie, I didn't really enjoy part three as much. The way I'm going to word it is, I was talking to Aaron about this very briefly before the recording. This felt a bit less like part three and a bit more like the extension of part two is the best way I can put it. I don't think this was a poor episode, but part one and two each had their own individual punch, and I found part three felt a lot less like it stood on its own. It felt a lot more just like it was the thing to finish up what the first two started, which, you know, granted, that's kind of the point of the end of a three-parter. But I would be lying if I said that I did not find it a little disappointing compared to how exciting I found the first two parts. But I think another. I was asked actually on Twitter by Random Factor, and I think my way of wording, I said my best answer for like spoilerless answer for how I feel about Orion Pax Part 3 is that the episode totally happened, and I totally watched it, and there's going to be episodes after it, and it finished off a three parter. Like it sounds like I didn't like it at all, but I did not dislike it. It's just I don't have a ton to say about it. I felt a little bit like eh. Afterwards, but I know there are also folks who loved it, and I know there are folks who hated it. So you know, you guys, I'm leaving that to you too. Gog, let's go into your thoughts on the overall premiere.
I share a lot of your thoughts with that. I think the first two episodes were good. I think they were very good, and writing wise, had some of my favorite bits. I think from the entire series, maybe. I mean, in very small amounts, but definitely some interesting stuff. Loved what they did with Orion Pax. I liked the other Autobots' reactions to that, and them being kind of emotionally invested in wanting this situation to end. I did feel like episode three was kind of by the book. It's like, well, we found our way to point B, so we need to get to point C by the end of it. And it seems like the whole grand payoff for the whole thing was, hey, guess what? Optimus Prime is back. But I think the reason why most of us enjoyed the first two parts is because that Optimus Prime was gone. And so having the payoff for this whole thing be the return of what the absence of made us enjoy the episodes more. I mean, or, you know, at least speaking for myself. So that was a little anticlimactic because now I wonder where we stand now. And it was inevitable that was going to happen. There was no way that Optimus was not going to come back, but
I agree. Like that yeah. was the outcome of this three-parter. For all the theories we had on where it might go, I was really like the highest probability was the end of Orion Pax is Orion Pax turns back in Optimus Prime. Like that was
right.
going to happen.
But I'm left with hope because I think the writing overall for this three-part opener was good. And I think if they can keep up some of that thoughtfulness as far as characterfulness, like the amount of effort that they put into making Orion kind of sympathetic and entirely different character, if they want to continue to go down that route as we go forward, then I have high hopes for season two for sure. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to see going forward from this is, while I certainly do appreciate their ability to not linger on things for so long and drag it out, they like to resolve things and move on. I'd actually like to see them slow down a bit. I want to see some longer arcs, and not 3, 4, 5 parters, but I just mean an ongoing something, because like, I might be not remembering something, but like right now, what's changing from episode to episode? Like we've gotten a few things, like Arachnid eventually becoming a main member of the Decepticon forces on Earth, Starscream being a neutral party. There's certainly some things that have permanently changed over the course of the show. You know, we've gotten some good character development from Jack, but aside from that, like what's really changing from where the season started to where we are now? So I'd like to see goals for both sides, like what they're trying to accomplish, because as of right now, it just kind of seems to be more of episodic, you know, good guys versus bad guys. And yes, to be fair, that is exactly what Transformers is. I understand that, but like the whole, you know, going forward, I hope we don't have the, like we did in the last season, the single episode gimmicks of let's have a this week's MacGuffin. And I want to see some progress. I want to see goals. I want to see both sides striving to reach those goals, and I want to see progress towards them. I think the biggest faction right now that's had that might actually be Mech. Yeah. Because they have a goal. They have a goal. They're actively working towards it. And every time they pop up, they are making progress on that, and they are trying to in different ways to accomplish it. We know what Mech wants. Mech has a mission plan and they're striving for it. And they put everything they can, forces, life, their lives on the line to make sure they get it. And even though they lose, they still kind of win at the end because they're slowly still making progress towards their goal. And as we've seen from the previews, it looks like the next two-parter that we're getting after this involves Mech. So, and I'd kind of like to see that actually with the Transformers. Like, I mean, I know like Megatron had like a zombie army plan, but like I still, like, it's just like at the beginning of each episode, it's kind of like, okay, here's the good guys, here's the bad guys, what are they doing? And that, I don't mean that in a negative. I've very much enjoyed the show, and I enjoyed the three-parter, save for a few reservations. But I'd really like to see the writers kind of, now that we've gotten these characters, many of which I really, really enjoy, and we've gotten a base for who everybody is and what they stand for. And now I'd like to see long-term plans being set into motion now, as far as what are they trying to accomplish? What are they going to go after? And I'd like to see that slowly build over the course of a season, instead of just like with the Unicron thing, him just kind of pop out of nowhere at the end and then be dealt with, and then let's move on. So we'll see what happens. But that's just my personal thoughts on where I'd like to see it. And you know, they may go in a completely different direction and blow my socks off, but I'm going to watch, and as long as it's decent, I'm going to enjoy it. But I'd like to see that's what I'd like to see as far as from the other sides. And if we're not going to get it, then heck, let's just see mech once every three episodes and I'll be happy.
And Aaron, how about your thoughts on the episode and the premiere?
I'm really heavily with you. It just seems like this, the first two episodes had build, and this was like, and this is how we've got to end it. Like I said, with the fast reset of Prime, I think is a lot of what gives me that feeling.
Yeah.
That it's just like,
we're done.
You know, had there been just a little bit of issue with maybe not, you know, Prime not even recognizing Raph when they got back to the base. Or some, you know, just some way to show that something's changed other than the fact that he has memories again. I would have gone a long way for me to think that this has progressed and done something. But for the most part, again, a lot of my feelings are very similar. Looking forward to the future and how they're going to do other things. But it's just frustrating because it's like they could do one thing just a little bit different and even not deal with it a whole lot afterwards, and it would make it feel like more story progression than the way that they've just reset it.
Yeah, I mean, like we've said before, this is a case where I almost want to reiterate, like, these are qualms you have now that I'm sure we are all ready to have quashed by some good throwback or development in future episodes. Like, this is all stuff where the only real worry is right now in the realm of uncertainty that we're in when we're recording this, we're kind of worried, but
yeah,
that's about it. I have a, not a listener question. I'm surprised you guys didn't mention, cause I just realized it. So when Soundwave has the planet Cybertron in his faceplate, that looks like the artwork for Cybertron from the G1 cartoon. Like, I do not have a screen cap ready, unfortunately. But I noticed some color palette and shapes that looked a whole lot like the Cybertron I remember seeing in G1. Like the oft-referenced one with the yellow spot on it and everything.
Yeah, well, I think that probably just comes from the fact that they have been paying attention to their history.
Yeah.
As in art design and other things. There are plenty of cues that are very similar to cues from the past. So, if it seems familiar, it's probably meant to be, not anything terribly hidden to it.
Yeah. That was a little talking point that I'd almost forgotten about. So, just to cut off a potential, I'm surprised you guys did not mention that. I thought I'd throw that one out there. So, that, unless anyone else has anything to add, I think that's our prime time for Orion Pax Part 3. Thank you all for listening. And we will be back with more Prime Time as Prime progresses. I also want to throw out, today I got my Blu-ray set of Season 1. And if some of you guys have never been to BotCon, check out the toy featurette. It's not actually really about toys much at all. It's a lot more of the current Hasbro team talking about their involvement in the show.
Where did you get the Blu-rays already? Did you buy them at the store?
No, Amazon.ca.
Oh, really? mine shipped with Amazon Prime on release day. I mean, because I got mine today too. I haven't opened them yet, but
yeah,
mine shipped yesterday,
and
mine still hasn't processed.
Since I'm in Ontario now, the Super Saver free shipping CA comes here within a day, so it just showed up today. I popped it open. I haven't watched an episode yet, but I also want to say I basically watched the special features, the sort of dinky hub oriented special feature that obviously aired on the hub before Prime actually aired. I didn't know how much footage it showed from other Transformers cartoons, and I made a tweet about this. It's kind of sad that it shows footage of Transformers animated at Blu-ray quality, and also of actually Transformers Cybertron at Blu-ray quality. And I was like, man, this is probably the only time I'm ever going to see either of these shows on Blu-ray anytime soon. And it's a little bit of a bummer, but I was glad that much was in there, and I was actually really happy how often animated showed up, like footage-wise, because I always considered the animated footage to be a taboo thing, much like the RID footage used to be very taboo in other media, because it was owned, or at least partially owned, by a different company. So that was nice. And also, FYI, the show looks really good in Blu-ray. So if you haven't picked up the Season 1 Blu-ray set yet, unless it's sold out, and if you enjoyed Prime Season 1, please pick up the Blu-ray set. And especially if like me, you're watching Season 2 via encodes. Primarily, we're only really getting standard def encodes right now, and it's not the best way to watch the show. Not gonna lie. The show is meant to be seen in Blu-ray if possible. So, pick it up. It's a good set. I'm really happy with it. Anyway, that is Prime Time. Thank you, Gog. Thank you, Aaron. I think you guys are going to head right back out to take back Earth.
Yes.
Well, that's a ways off.
No, yeah.
I have to make friends first.
Yeah, got to do some stuff, and then you'll be able to take back Earth. So thank you all, and I will talk to you guys later. This is WTF Prime Time, and we are Prime Out!
Add all that up, I don't know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.